DJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live here from the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, all of our guests here in the Engine Pro Studios tonight coming us on the Rocket Headers Hotline. And I want to thank you for listening to another edition of our program. Big show on tap for tonight, and racing starting to heat up, so we wanted to get this gentleman on the line. He has taken over the USAC Silver Crown Division for the 2014 season, has a plethora of racing experience, everything from racetracks, race teams, and even at one time, he was known as Indy Andy. That's the way I still think about Andy Helmberg, is Indy Andy, the sprint car racer. And Andy, it's a pleasure to have you on tonight.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here, and love talking about our favorite subject, racing.
Oh, for sure. And this is kind of getting back to your roots a little bit. You were a sprint car and silver crown driver before you headed south, and you did quite a bit of that. I actually saw you do a little more wing sprint car racing than silver crown racing, per se, but you did some of that as well. So you've done a myriad of different things, still involved in the stock car side of things, but what made you want to take on this task with the USAC Silver Crown Series?
Well, the big thing is USAC is such an important part of racing heritage and roots, and they offered the position to me, and I just kind of felt a loyalty to all my open wheel friends and my open wheel heritage to come back and try to make a difference. The last few years that in any sport, it's been rough sledding, and I think a lot of racing organizations have struggled over the past few years because of the economy, and I felt like it was my chance to come in and help something move forward, and I'm really proud to be a part of it. I'm really proud to have that USAC badge on my shirt, so to speak. It should be a very fun year.
And I think it's an enviable task because, as you said, this division has fallen on a little bit of hard times. Is it a little, how different so far has it been than when you anticipated when you first took the job? Is it in maybe a little better shape than you thought it was? Maybe it was a little worse, but if walking in the door, what was your first impression?
Well, it's just getting to know the competitors and what they have been going through, over the past few years. And, listen to the fan input of what has, changed within the series over the past 10 or 15 years. The last Silver Crown race that I actually drove in, was back in 91 for the Del Rose Holt race team. When I moved south, I was driving the 12 car. And, learning a lot of what has changed and, for better and for worse and listening to a lot of people, that's probably what I did for the, still doing it, but that's all I did for probably the first month, was just, try to be able to grasp the situation that we're in. There's a lot of race cars that are around and, that had been put away for whatever reason. I mentioned the economy or they didn't like the way things are going or the schedule didn't fit them. And now coming in and learning our competitors and what they need, and telling them this is what we're doing and how we're doing it and why we're doing it this way, it's meeting a good response within our competitors. And when we get those cars out there, then it's a lot easier to talk to the fans and, be able to tell them about a great show that's coming up. I mean, this Sunday we're going to Terre Haute. We're at 22 cars. Hopefully we get a couple more late entries. But, that's the strongest field that they've had in almost a year. And, we've got a ride back in the series. So, and plus the drivers that they did have. So it should be a great race, but I'd say just learning the problems before we start solving anything, and that's probably been the main goal.
How has the reception been from the race teams? As you mentioned, a lot of them might not have been happy at the direction things were going in and such, and so far you've managed to meet with competitors and group a few times. I know you've been hustling a lot individually and talking to people. How's the reception been so far?
It's been great because, what we've really focused on doing is open up a line of communication. When a competitor has a question is to be able to answer it and you know, be a definitive answer. Even if it's bad, the truth only burns once. It's like, well, this isn't good right now, but we need to do it this way for this reason. And you know, rather than sugarcoat it, so to speak, and then work through it, and all of us have a common goal. And you know, at the end of the day, we're going to put on a great show for the fans. And when you start getting more fans, that's when you can get more corporate involvement. So it all works in a big circle. And you know, I feel like we've stabilized the Silver Crown series, and now come up in the 2014 season, you're going to start seeing hopefully some growth out of the series for the first time in many years.
Now, you do have the first race this Sunday at Terre Haute, which is a big deal. But coming up after that, you do have a race at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis on May 17th. And that's a pavement race. And the dirt races have had, you know, 16, 17 cars. Pavement car count, probably a little less. How difficult is it going to be to get the car count up on the blacktop side?
Well, a lot of that is you know, stabilizing the rules and what you need to do with that. And then secondary is try to, you know, get these competitors where they're racing for more money and you have more sponsor involvement within the series. And hopefully we'll be able to do that. Probably not by Raceway Park, but we have some plans in place that I think are going to be, they're going to be pretty neat. And we're starting to get the fans involved a little bit now that we know what we're trying to sell. Today we just announced a really neat thing for the race fans, a fantasy team, so to speak. You can go to the USAC Racing website and find out how to play, pick your team, and for each race we're going to have some prizes for the fans, and at the end of the year name our Silver Crown Fan of the Year. So try to do a few new things that I think are really going to make a difference.
Andy Hillenburg joining us from the United States Auto Club Silver Crown Series, and this Sunday at Terre Haute. What distance is that race going to be at Terre Haute on Sunday?
It'll be a 100-lapper. The practice sessions will start at 4, and hopefully we're racing somewhere right around 7:30. So a twilight show this Sunday, so we can have a great racetrack to put on a great show and still get fans home early in time for work on Monday.
Now, you probably didn't get a chance to drive a Silver Crown car at Terre Haute, I'm guessing, before you headed south permanently. But I know that maybe the best dirt Silver Crown race I've ever seen was at the Terre Haute Action Track. It's a really, even though it's a half-mile facility, it definitely puts on some great racing for the Silver Crown cars.
Oh, absolutely. They ran there the first year that I actually started racing was in sprint cars in 1980, and I wasn't old enough to get a ride at the time. And then, as you mentioned, they started racing after I'd moved away south, going there on a regular basis. But I ran many a sprint car races there, and loved the action, loved what that racetrack stands for, and all the history there.
It should be a neat program. And like you said, you're giving back with this. And, you know, you had been involved in Sprint Car and Silver Crown Racing. And, you know, you think back to when you were a driver and now you're wearing that official shirt. So you're going to be wearing the officiating shirt when you go to the racetrack. Did you ever imagine back when you were driving Sprint Cars and Silver Crown stuff that you would be the referee, so to speak, in that role?
No, not really. It just kind of evolved into that situation, but I can tell you that I had many good role models that I respected as a competitor, and I hope that I can be half the official that those guys, you know, were, you know, namely, you know, Roger McCluskey and Raleigh Beal, and you just hope that you can do, you know, even a portion as good as those guys did, because they contributed so much to the series.
Now, this is the pinnacle of USAC racing. I mean, this is supposed to be the top dog, where all the kind of the clans come together, whether you're just a midget guy or sprint car guy. This is kind of like the combination where they kind of get together. What do you think is the ideal number of races for this series? A lot of people think it should race more. Some people think it's good right about the where it is. It's growing up, it's always been under 20 races. In my lifetime, what do you think is an ideal number for a Silver Crown schedule?
I think that's a moving target based upon health of the series, as well as the amount of competitors and the amount of the demand from the fans. At the moment, I think you know, what we have right now is probably good for a year or two. I mean, at most, I really don't anticipate the Silver Crown series being more than 15 or 16. I think that would be on the high end, but we definitely want to keep it over 10. So, you know, I could see each way of that. You know, an argument for 8, and I could see an argument for 20. But I think ultimately it's going to be probably decided by the series and the corporate involvement that that comes with the health of the series. If we have a corporate sponsor that can help with the promotions of the series and can help the competitors offset some of their costs, everybody'd love to race more. So, you know, depending on how well of a job that we do, I think getting the health back of the sport will dictate how many races are on that calendar in the coming years.
There's a perception about these cars among some of the teams and fans and stuff that they don't put on as good of a show on a half mile, especially on the paved tracks. We've seen them try to take them to smaller venues, and for whatever reason, you know, some of them haven't panned out. Do you think that's perception, maybe, or, you know, the people aren't giving it a chance, team and fan-wise necessary? Because I've liked some of the smaller track races, even when they've gone to extended distance, or is the plan in the future maybe to keep these still on bigger racetracks?
I think a combination of all of them is really the key to success. I understand the half-mile theory because I don't think the Champ Cars ran on a half-mile other than the Terre Haute race there in 1980 and then when the Four Crown started at Eldora. But before those races, I don't believe that the cars did race on a half mile. So you've got that perception of history there. But I think in the future, it's a growing mix. I mean, you know, they went to Belleville last year. We're going again this year. I think that's a good addition to the weeks of racing or the week of racing that they have at Belleville. The Eldora Four Crown, you know, that has been going on for, oh boy, at least 30 years now. And so there's some traditional short track races I think that need to stay, but we definitely don't need to become an all short track series, but I think it needs to be mixed. You know, the idea of the Silver Crown champion is a driver that can do anything. Short tracks, speedways, pavement, dirt, dry slickies, up on the cushion, you name it, that USAC Silver Crown champion is a driver that can do it all.
And, you know, you mentioned that you went into the job not trying to sugarcoat anything. So, if you were going to approach me as a new car owner and saying, hey, I'm interested in this, what would you tell me at this point?
Well, the big thing that you're going to see is consistency. Consistency in the way that we're doing the rules, consistency in the way that we're going to run the programs, and consistency in our growth pattern, not try to do it in big spurts all at once or you know, take a step forward and step in something. I mean, we're going to do it smooth and calculating and grow the series and increase the health of this series, and it's something that you want to be a part of. I mean, in my eyes, to be, oh, I mean, I don't want to slight any drivers that haven't had the opportunity to run a Silver Crown car over the year, but I think that is an important part of any driver's resume, past, present, and future, is that USAC Silver Crown series. If you've got that on your resume, I really believe that it's something that a driver or a car owner can be proud of.
Are we starting to see some race teams come into the series because they see an opportunity? Maybe somebody that wanted to do this but saw a 40-car field and thought they might not be able to quite cut it. Are we starting to see some people look at the series like that as an opportunity to get to do it now?
I think you have in the past couple of years, but I don't think you're going to see that moving forward. because the Hoosier 100, which is our third race on the schedule, that's going to be our biggest and best one yet, and guys are going to have to come, and they're going to have to be prepared and loaded for bear like in the old days, or, you know, they're not going to be able to make the race. So I don't think that we're going to see guys that come in at the moment and say, wow, this is an opportunity we can get to go in there and ride around. I think you're getting guys that go, wow, this is an opportunity to go beat some of the nation's best and really put our name on the map. So I think we're going to see more of that than the first.
A couple years down the road, if this series has full fields for all of its races and you get the corporate involvement, what would it mean to you personally to see this series come back stronger?
Oh, I mean, a lot of pride. Like I say, I mean, you know, a lot of the guys that I raced against and, you know, when I drove in this series, I was proud to be a Silver Crown driver. I mean, the first race I drove was a 22-year-old youngster at the Hoosier 100 and, you know, was fortunate enough to win the Rookie of the Year. And if I'd never raced again, I felt like I had a pretty good mark on my resume that, you know, I could be proud of. And I want these young drivers to be able to feel that pride and that sense of accomplishment. And, you know, driving a Silver Crown car is definitely not easy, and doing well in it is a lot harder than that.
Well, Andy Hilberg, we really appreciate you taking time with us, and we really appreciate what you're doing for the series, because I think it's important for all of open wheel racing that this division thrives a little bit, and I know you're putting in the hours and the hard work, and I hope we see it all come to fruition.
Well, thanks a lot, and thanks to all our race fans out there, and, you know, keep up with the Silver Crown series on the USACRacing.com website. And come visit us at any of our races coming up on the schedule, and especially this Sunday, loading the car, and we'll see everybody at Terre Haute Sunday afternoon.
Well, it should be a great way to start the season. Thank you, Andy, for joining us.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Wade Johnson about the upcoming HD Supply Spring Nationals at Attica Raceway Park.
You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. My next guest has signed up to do the full tour with the All-Star Circuit of Champions for the 2014 season, and if weather permits, you'll get to see him at the HD Supply Spring Nationals at Attica Raceway Park. And we were just talking off the air that Wayne Johnson, you've only actually been to Attica a couple of times.
Yeah, you know, the only time that I've been before last year was when the Gumout actually took us there. And you know, I'm venturing off to quite a few new racetracks for me. You know, that's kind of one of the reasons we've kind of made the decision to come do that. I want to change it up and actually go to some places I've never been before.
Well, and it's pretty amazing that you haven't been to some of these places before when we're thinking about it. But the All-Star deal is quite a bit different. There's a lot of places you haven't seen. What's different about some of the Ohio tracks that you've experienced so far compared to other racetracks in your neck of the woods or even from where you're from in Oklahoma?
You know, really not a whole lot. You know, they're slick race, and I grew up in Oklahoma racing on slick racetracks. And most of the racetracks over in Ohio are, you know, get pretty slick. And but so really not a whole lot. Just the biggest thing is I just think, you know, that you guys got a bigger group of 410 cars than just about anywhere. So that's really the only difference, you know, is I think for a 410 weekly show or I should say, shouldn't say a weekly show, but just for that area there, you know, that's definitely a feeding ground for 410s because back where I'm from, we don't have them.
And you are based out of the Knoxville, Iowa area. You're my Knoxville Nationals neighbor when I come out there. What's some of the challenges of fielding a car for a series like that that's based out of Ohio, maybe a little bit further away when your home base is out of Iowa?
You know, we're just the biggest thing is we're going to try to leave everything over there quite a bit. And you know, I'll be the only one commuting back and forth to Knoxville just to come home, but the boys will stay out that away quite a bit. And you know, so it shouldn't be that big a deal. But, you know, with us traveling, you know, with the ASCS series, you know, the last couple of years, you know, there's a lot of travel involved in that. So just basically trying to, you know, knock down some of the travel and just want to go 410 racing. You know, the 360s around here are you know, really big back down home, Oklahoma and all that stuff. But, you know, I put a few notes together and I'm telling you, I don't think it's that much more to run 410s anymore than it is 360s because the motors basically cost the same anymore.
And even with the additional life you're getting out of the motor, are you finding that just the purses offset that? Or what do you think that is? Because in theory, on paper, that 360 motor should be lasting longer. Why do you think what is making the cost comparable?
Well, it is. It's definitely, you know, the purses are bigger for sure. And then the 360 cars, you know, we're running those things 20 nights before rebuilds. And, you know, to run on a smaller track, you know, you can't run Knoxville and get 12 nights out of a 410 for sure. But, you know, running Attica and Fremont, a few smaller places like that, I think we can get, you know, 12, 13, 14 nights out of these 410s. And then it offsets, you know, you're racing for 5,000 to win just about every night. And there's a lot of bigger paying races over in that area, you know, 10,000 to win. And it's just, you know, with the 360s back this way, the purses really fall off really bad. You know, can't fault the promoters for wanting to have these races because, you know, it's a way for them to make money. But they're dang sure not putting it back in the purse for the racers.
And are we starting to see, it brings up an interesting topic, and you might not want to tread on this, but we're kind of starting to see this come back around again with the 305s that are springing up everywhere, to where, to me, a lot of the 305 movement is promoter driven because they don't want to pay a purse. So they've seen the 360 purse. Now they want to bring it back, ratchet it back down. And we see all these 305 headlining tracks. Are you seeing that kind of in the same light?
Yeah, you know, the 305 thing is really, you know, it just blows my mind that these guys will race for $400 to win. And, locally here at Knoxville, I know, Larry Ball run 305 last year and they have a $20,000 360. And to me, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, what happened to sprint car racing from when I was a kid? You know, there was no such thing as a 305 or a 360 for that matter. You know, it was a sprint car and it's kind of run what you brung. And I realize today everything has evolved and it's hard to do that, you know, to have a sprint car race like that anymore. But, you know, that's really, to me, what's really killing sprint car racing. We have too many groups and we have too many different classes. And the way I've always said it is every time you get to go, you know, you travel from one race to the next, when you stop at the gas pump, they don't ask you if you got a 305 or a 410 or a 360 or whatever. You know, it's, the fuel cost is the same to get there. And, the motor costs are really not that much difference anymore, even for a 305. You know, to run an Knoxville, like I said, these guys are spending $20,000 on a motor.
Wayne Johnson joining us on the line. And Wayne's going to be an interesting season. He is racing with the All-Star Circuit of Champions this year, taking on some new experiences, one of which will be Ohio Sprint Speed Week, which should be an interesting thing. Obviously, you've done the ASDS Speed Weeks, and you've done strings of races before, but that one, to me, I always call that as one of the most ultimate grinds because of the quality of races and stuff and all the different racetracks you are going to have to go to during that series.
Yeah, I really thrive on the Speed Week races. I don't know if we could race every night, you know, 365 days a year. I think we'd try to do it. But no, those races, I just feel like when you run a Speed Week like that, and you just get better with the car every night. It is a grind, and guys get tired and all that. But the Ohio Speed Week, you know, there's not a whole lot of travel involved. You know. There was a couple, you know, ASF Speed Weeks here within the last couple, 2 or 3 years that we had a 500 mile overnight jaunt, you know, and it's just too tough to do those things. And, you know, looking at the, you know, it's a couple hundred miles, you know, maximum between those races.
Talent-wise, if you look at them side-by-side, an ASCS national race versus a standard all-star race, maybe in Ohio or someplace, are those two series really comparable talent-wise, do you believe?
Well, you know, I think there's, you got a couple guys with a 360 deal that you got to beat. And, you know, the equipment level, as far as that goes, it's really have changed, you know, in the last couple of years. Everybody has good stuff out there now. So, but, you know, night in and night out with that deal, there's a couple guys you got to beat every night. And looking at the All-Star deal, you know, I think there's going to be five or six guys that could win any night. And, you know, Hodgschild, he's going to run. I don't think he's going to run full time, but he's going to be there. I mean, and there's always guys bouncing into the All-Star race. So I think it's probably going to be a little tougher running the All-Star deal for sure. But like I say, we're kind of, decided we wanted to run more 410 races this year. And, that's kind of what made it, you know, made us decide to go run the All-Star deal, because we don't have a budget to go do the Outlaw deal.
And do you think that going, you know, a lot of people focus their year around the Nationals, and obviously you're in Knoxville Raceway's backyard. The Nationals are very important to you, and as they are everybody else. Do you think getting out on the road a little bit actually helps you preparing for the Nationals, because you're racing against different competition every night?
Well, you know, I don't know. Knoxville is kind of a different place. And racing here, when I raced here weekly, you know, I really felt like we could compete with anybody running here every week, just because we figure the car out more in the racetrack. You know, you just run the same place every night. But moving around and traveling, definitely, you just get stuck in a rut running Knoxville. Like, when I did that, I would struggle a lot when I go to smaller places, because you just turn the car more on the smaller tracks. But traveling definitely will get you better with making adjustments on your race car and seeing different racetracks every night. You know, you'll make better decisions when it does come to the Nationals and there's a problem, or just say, you know, you need to make some adjustments with the car. You know, it's going to be sharper doing it just because you race more.
You had mentioned something I found interesting. I hear a lot is everyone's got good equipment these days, and it's more readily available. And this is an argument, you know, something we've heard over the past several seasons from a multitude of different drivers. Do you feel that because there's so much good equipment out there, does that make it put more of it in the driver's hands because you all have good stuff, or does it actually take it out of your hands a little bit more?
No, I think it definitely puts it more back in the driver because, like I said, we're all competing with pretty much equal equipment. You know, you go back 5-10 years ago, and there was definitely guys that, you know, had way better stuff than a lot of the local guys. But anymore, you know, it's just a trickle-down effect. You know, Casey Kane's cars and Tony's, excuse me, Tony's cars, and, you know, they buy stuff all year, you know, or new stuff every year, so that stuff trickles down to the local guys. And so, you know, definitely they're still, you know, out there on the Outlaw deal. There's definitely guys that's got, I wouldn't say better stuff, but they just, you know, it's definitely, they're able to keep it fresher more often than the local guy. But it's definitely, you know, there's lots of local teams nowadays that have just as good stuff as the Outlaw guys.
Is there any one particular segment of the All-Star schedule where you look at and you're kind of looking forward to it, maybe because you haven't done part of it before, or maybe it's going back to a place you haven't been to for a while? Is there, when you look at the schedule as a whole, is there a section where you go, wow, I'm really looking forward to this for a particular reason?
Well, I'm just looking forward to getting over there and just racing with the guys, you know, that I haven't raced with that much. And really just racing night in and night out with the 410, you know, that's really what I'm looking for. The Speed Week is definitely something I'm excited about. Looking forward to getting back to run Eldora. You know, I've only raced Eldora, you know, a handful of times, and looking forward to getting back over there. And you know, a big decision of us running over there, if I got some sponsors that are from that area you know, it's they've been helping me for quite a few years, and I've not really raced in their area, so it's a big deal for me to do that.
That's where I was going next. I'm sure you have some people that you have to think they're making your All-Star effort possible.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a ton of people that's involved with my team. You know, without these people, there's no way that we could even go to the racetrack here at Knoxville, and it's only a mile from the house. But you know, a big supporter of my team is Todd Carlisle, and he's actually from Liberal, Kansas, so. Actually, we're moving away from him. We're not going to get to race in his area as much, but Miles Hill, and, you know, he's a big help. Vern Ringen, and he's from Washington. I mean, I got people from all over that help on this team, you know, I just kind of got to pick my poison. You know, Miles and Glenn there, Oshwegan, you know, they've helped me for quite a few years now, and so this way, you know, they'll get to come to more races and get to be involved with the team.
Well, Wayne, we're glad to have you back in the area more often, and look forward to working with you quite a bit during the year during the All-Star Circuit, and wish you best of luck. And hopefully this weekend the weather looks better than it does now. It's Monday, so we can't get too worried about the weather forecast yet. Hopefully it starts getting a little bit better.
And the problem I have is I've got to leave a lot earlier than everybody else. So if they cancel, I'm sure hoping they do it before I leave home.
I agree with you, Wayne. Thank you for taking time out, and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Wayne Johnson joining us on the line, and I always enjoy talking to Wayne. He goes back with us from the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals and a lot of other things we've done throughout the years, and it seems like we always cross paths with us. The Gum Out series, really as the website took off, Wayne's career started taking off too, so in lockstep, we've always come across paths, so it's always, you know, since he's been doing the ASCS stuff, we haven't seen him as much, so it'd be good to see him back with the All-Stars in 2014. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. Stay tuned.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. And I mentioned earlier, right now the forecast looking a little rough for Friday, and Saturday looks okay, but hopefully it's Monday. We can't get too worried about that, and as of right now, we are full speed ahead to go to the HD Supply Spring Nationals over at Attica Raceway Park, featuring the first Midwest appearance of the All-Star Circuit of Champions, brought to you by UNOH. It's going to be a great program. We haven't washed out the whole program there, so more than likely we're going to get one day of it in. I hope we can get two. The plan is right now, you'll probably get some audio from there. We're going to try to do some post-race podcasting. It is an experiment, so keep this in mind. I'm worried. We're going to try to do this. You never know what's going to happen, but try to put together a couple quick podcasts, little 10-minute things summarizing the races with some interviews and such, immediately following the race. And then also, next Monday will feature a couple of longer interviews and podcast only. There will not be a live show next week at 8 o'clock. We are going to be tied up with some other things where we can't do the live show, but we are going to produce a podcast separately of that, of the Monday program, that you guys will be able to download and listen off of tjslideways.com. But a busy week ahead. We've got that coming up, and we have some other things in the hopper as well that we've been working on that you'll start seeing come to fruition. But really looking forward to getting out to Attica again. I love going there. It's just such a well-run racetrack and well-run facility, and the All-Stars there are always so much fun. It's always amazing to see those features and how they come down pretty much always right down to the end. And big question will be, who's going to stop Dale Blaney? Even with a new ride this year, he's still got to be the odds-on favorite. He has more Spring Nationals victory than any other driver. What's kind of interesting is when we get both days in, Frankie Kerr's the only guy who's won both of them in the same weekend. So if we get two in, you're more than likely going to see a couple of different winners. And it's a really interesting program. If you haven't made your way out there at Attica Raceway Park, this is one of the ones I highly recommend you going to. I had some friends take it in last year for the first time. They were just amazed at the efficiency of the program is run, the quality of the facility, and just the overall quality of the program. They were just amazed by it, and probably I'll see them back hopefully again this year. So on behalf of everyone here at TJSlideways.com, Races on the Web, from the Engine Pro Studios, it's time to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. I want to thank Andy Hillenburg and Wayne Johnson for joining us, and in 2 weeks we'll do the live edition again here on Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and you'll get a podcast next week on Monday night as well. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.